Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for being with us. And we have a show today coming from my home state and my home county. And I'm not proud to say this. I'm very disappointed I have to say this, and I've said it many times. I feel I live in the most corrupt county in the United States, Maricopa County. And I also feel that I live in the most corrupt state. We are the bellwether state for corruption of all kinds. You've heard me talk about the Brager Report. That's gaining steam, by the way, people. You can't dismiss a RICO investigator for the federal government who is investigating Arizona state officials, including who we're going to talk about today, which is, Katie Hobbs, the governor who got elected under very suspicious circumstances. And I'm thinking around the country, there's a lesson to be learned from what's happening in Arizona. We have a lot going on in Arizona, a lot coming to go after these crooked politicians. And here to join us in this endeavor and exposing one aspect in one group that's going after a corrupt politician is Peter McMillan. And we'll join Peter in just a moment after I tell you that we got a couple of sponsors here. And one is Storable Food. And I've seen increasing amount of articles right now, a lot of them from farmers and farm experts, saying they feel the food supply is being imperiled, it's being done on purpose, and that they're advising everyone to get storable food. Well, we can help you with that. My Patriot Supply is the best in the country. They got great prices, great deals, 25-year shelf life. The food is eatable. I'm not going to tell you it's a five-star restaurant, but it certainly is palatable. Tasted fine to me when I've tried it, and I would highly recommend that you stack up on it because we don't know where this is going. And the last thing you want to do is be in a Biden breadline. So go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. And again, I'm going to remind you about the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, which says the government can basically steal your money through the banks. The banks have unfiltered discretion to take your money because Dodd-Frank declared that when you put your money in the bank, you're an unsecured creditor, and they can seize it. Now, more than likely, they'll do a bail-in on a percentage basis. So maybe you had $100,000 on Monday, and on Tuesday, you might have $30,000. I can't say those are going to be the amounts, but you need to be aware that can happen, and your retirement could go with it. So what Noble Gold does, who I represent, they uncouple people from the banks with regard to retirement. They gold back it. You're in control of it, and gold's held its value for 6,000 years. They can also protect your bank account by doing certain things. And I want you to let me send you a free information packet about Noble Gold, and it explains everything. Just go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And I have to give this warning that the federal government unfortunately did not give with regard to FTX, and that's this. Past performance has nothing to do with future performance, and all investments are inherently risky. I'll just say this in response to that. I've been representing Noble Gold for 6 years, and I've been a customer for 5 years. Speaking of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried's getting a walk. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, Peter McMillan is a retired military lieutenant colonel. We're going to let him talk a little bit about his background. But more importantly, for the purpose of this discussion, Peter is taking the lead in something that I am so thrilled is happening, as he is part of a group, the leader of the group, that's planning a recall against the criminal Katie Hobbs, named in the Brager Report as having taken. Now, Peter doesn't necessarily endorse this, but the Brager Report has Katie Hobbs taking $500,000 in money laundering, Sinaloa cartel, tied in with the uniparty members of Arizona. They're named, and there's 20,000 affidavits to support these allegations, and this is picking up steam. And Peter's taking a different approach. He wants to recall Katie Hobbs. And if no other reason, this election was stolen in Maricopa County, and Peter's going to expand on that as well. Peter, glad you could join us. First time on the show. Welcome. And before we get started, can you tell the people a little bit about your military background and what you did in serving our country?
Sure, Dave. First, thank you very much for inviting me on the show. And I just want to preface my comments that myself and all honorable veterans are dedicated to peaceful, nonviolent, social, and political change, which I know is the motto of the Common Sense Show.
Yes.
And I would just add to that that the best antidote to tyranny is an educated and alert public. And I would encourage all veterans to speak out on these issues of public concern and educate our fellow Americans That's the best way to deal with this situation. Myself, I had 28 years of military duty, active Guard and Reserve. I spent probably the last third of my career assigned to the Intelligence Directorate in Southern Command in Miami. And I want to stress that everything I'm talking about today is open source. I'm under a non-disclosure agreement for anything which is classified, and so I, as an officer, I honor my commitment to the country. But that said, there are many things that your listeners can find if they ask the right questions and look for the right sources that are open source. And that's that was my message that I was trying to provide to the Arizona Department of Military Affairs, which we can get into a little bit later. But yes, I am the chairman of the Arizona Citizens, the committee to recall Katie Hobbs. And I would stress that in addition to the matters related to the election, what's going on the border is clearly grounds for a recall. The border's open. It's an invasion. I think any reasonable person looking at the totality of the facts and circumstances would see that as such. And that's one of my as Arizona citizens, our primary mission is to recall Hobbs, and this is the situation is snowballing, with just her refusal. Worth apparently recently she vetoed, I think, at least two laws that were trying to reform the voting process, and it just keeps getting worse now with the border situation. So Arizona citizens, our primary goal is to engineer the recall. We are working on a system system that will successfully accomplish that, and I encourage everyone to check out our Twitter at Arizona Citizens, and also our website with that there's a link on our Twitter with on that.
Okay, can you give out your website again, please?
Sure, of course. I'm sorry, the Twitter is the main feed, so I would encourage everyone to go to it's just twitter.com/recall underscore Hobbs. And there's also the website.
Okay, but before you go on to the website, I just want to ask about the Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
Is it at recall underscore Hobbs? Is that how you'd get to you?
Yes, correct.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes, you're right.
All right.
And then right there on the header is the link to the website, which would be recallkatiehobbsaz.wordpress.com.
Okay, so let's say that again.
It's recall Katie Hobbs, all spelled together. Recall Katie Hobbs AZ.wordpress.com.
Okay, and before we get into the substantive nature, just general information. Does Hobbs know you're coming for her politically?
Well, I got involved in this when I think like most people concerned about this situation, I was looking for information, and I came across Arizona Citizens. And in one of their earlier tweets, they're up to over 2,300 tweets now, but one of the first ones, we're talking like December of 22, was, well, we're looking for someone to go to the Arizona State Capitol and talk to the Department of State. And I volunteered. I said, I'll do it. I'll go in there. And that's what I did. January 3rd, morning of January 3rd, I walked in, registered with security, went up to the, I think it's the seventh floor where the Department of State is, identified myself and asked for for information to educate myself and the committee on how to initiate a recall based upon Arizona state law, and that is detailed at the website. At the Arizona Citizens website under a message from our chairman. If folks go to that and click on message from our chairman, it'll go into my report that I provided after visiting the Secretary of State's office, which details everything that must be done lawfully under Arizona state law to do a recall against the sitting governor.
Yeah, you.
Which
You...
I think is ironic. If, you know, I'm sorry if I may interrupt, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Which I think is ironic because it goes back to the legality of the election in the first place. It's ironic that we the people must exercise our lawful authority to remove someone from office who apparently is not should not be there in the first place. But that's what we've come to.
How much of what you're doing was motivated by the failure of 59% of the voting tabulators on Election Day?
My duty as a citizen and also as a retired military officer. And, you know, I took an oath to the Constitution, and and this goes not only to myself but to other veterans, but also the current active duty force, which we passed the torch to after our active and reserve service, and which has apparently been dropped on the border. And I would encourage people to go to whether it's the Army's website or the Navy's. All the military services have the same. Have the same kind of links, and they list the oath of commissioned officers and the oath of enlisted members. And that's what's important here is that what concerns me, especially with the military, is that apparently senior members of the military, by our oath, we required to follow all lawful orders. But by the same token, we must refuse to follow unlawful orders. And that's the slippery slope that we are, whether it's civilian or military, but especially for military personnel, that we are now being placed in Arizona and nationwide. And and so we realized as Arizona citizens that we needed to start also paying, to stay focused on the recall, but we also need to start addressing these other issues that, again, are just another cause to recall Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, well, I've heard this kind of language before because I was raised as a Navy brat, so I'm very familiar with how you would view your service to your community based on your military experience, and I can totally identify with that. But in your opinion, and the opinion of people you're working with in your sphere of recalling Hobbs, I imagine the border's an issue, as you said. Election integrity, or lack of it, is another. Are there any other issues that we can explore before we finish our interview today?
Well, I would say the alleged money laundering and bribery from what apparently is the Mexican cartels that feeds into the border issue as well. And it's our focus is Ms. Hobbs, but there are other individuals that are apparently working with her that may also be involved in these kinds of situations, and there must be lawful accountability for them too. But we have to begin. We have to start somewhere, and that begins with Ms. Hobbs.
Yeah, I totally agree. In dealing with Hobbs, you're really kind of cutting the head off the snake, and so I do agree that's the right entry point. You mentioned that she vetoed two bills with regard to border security. Our election integrity. Let's go there. What specifically were these bills about?
I don't know the specifics of them. I just remember that they were efforts by the state legislature to reform. I think one of them had to do with at least one of them had to do with counties being able to do physical hand counts of ballots, which I think is telling. Given the fact of given what happened during the past election, it should come as no surprise to anyone that Ms. Hobbs would veto the very measure that would hold her and others accountable in the event that of unfair elections.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up. I know a little bit about this. In Mojave County, the chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Mojave Board of Supervisors, Ron Gould, who I used to know, I used to go on his show some, he was a former state senator as well, and Ron said, well, we're going to do a hand count, and Cochise County in the southern part of the state said the same thing, and Hobbs interjected, said, if you do this, I'll have you thrown in prison. And then They backed off of that under threat of prison. And then both counties said, well, we're not going to certify the election. And she threatened them with prison again. And what's interesting is she was Secretary of State in charge of elections in an election she was running in. So complete bias on her part, conflict of interest in how this election was conducted.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments on that. The issue, however, unfortunately, is that every time reporters or the public in general raise the issue of a unfair election, they are shouted down by the mainstream media and the people with the vested interest to keep Hobbs in power, saying that that's not an issue. A good example of that was the recent interview by President Trump by Fox News, I think his name by Brett Baer, where the issue of the 2020 election came up, and they basically spent 5 minutes of Mr. Baer saying that it's irrefutable that it was there was no stolen election. So we want to focus on Arizona citizens wants to focus on these other issues. We're not saying that that's not an issue. It is an issue, but our goal is to recall Ms. Hobbs on what she has done and what she has failed to do
as governor, as sitting governor, correct?
As alleged governor, I personally will not refer to her as Governor Hobbs.
I have a hard time with that too, Peter. I have a hard time with that too, and I should mention this to the audience just as an aside. Peter and I had had some written communication, and I asked Peter if he would mind speaking to me on one Sunday evening at 9 p.m. And 9 p.m. arrived, and I'm sitting there, and my wife and I are watching HGTV. My phone is sitting in a nearby table. We're not even near it, couldn't touch it, couldn't reach it without getting up. And it was about 9:03, and I said, oh, Peter hasn't called. And I picked up the phone, and there was a text message from me to you saying, I can't talk to you. And then you responded, okay. And then I immediately called you and told you I didn't send you that text message. That was at the same time that I could not get into my own website. I could go anywhere else, and everyone could get into my website except for me. So we've had some pretty extreme interference already. And I just want to say that, Peter, you're going to get more interference. If your movement picks up steam, and I think it will, you're going to get more interference. You mentioned the mainstream media in Arizona. Before we go into more specifics about the border and so forth, how would you characterize the mainstream media in Arizona on issues like election integrity, border integrity? What would you say?
Frustrating. I think that there are many good journalists out there, whether it's members of the press or members of the military. These are the kinds of developments that I find very troubling, because the individuals that are carrying this out sit up atop a pyramidal system, and they use their authority to compartmentalize and control the people underneath them, who may not even be aware of what's going on. They may be, in some circumstances, they may be individuals that are going along to get along for whatever their personal reasons are, or they may be individuals who are complicit in what's going on. So a very few, I think most of the public would be surprised at how very few people are actually controlling this situation through their authority and the use of power to corrupt individuals who would otherwise, or at least to silence individuals who would otherwise stand up and protest. A good example of that is the Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel active duty who protested what was going on in Afghanistan. He was, my understanding is that he had to leave the Marine Corps over that, when all he was doing was trying to speak truth to power. And that's my concern here, is that the press is being the press, the public, the administrative organs of government at the mid to lower levels are being manipulated by these individuals who have gotten their way into government by other than legal, lawful means, and then they pretend that they now have the authority to tell everyone else below them that they are, that they must follow their orders or comply with their orders regardless. And I think there comes a time, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, where honorable members of the military, honorable members of the press, have to say, I took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. My oath is to the Constitution of the United States. It's not to an individual person or political party. And when I am ordered, or when I believe that I am being given unlawful orders, it is my responsibility through my oath to say no to this. And that, unfortunately, that's not what's happening, and that's what we need. That's what we're about. We're here to take a stand, speak truth to power, and start to unravel this. And just to really get it across succinctly, what I'm talking about is right in the chorus of the famous song by the Rolling Stones, "Sympathy for the Devil." I would point everybody to verse 4. The chorus, pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name, but what's confusing you is just the nature of my game. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinner saints, as heads is tails, just call me Lucifer. Yeah. I'm in need of some restraint. Well, these folks are not in need of restraint. They are released themselves from restraint. And I think it's high time that that patriotic Americans stand up and be counted for and not be afraid to call a spade a spade.
Okay, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me ask you this question about the personal risk for you. In your role as a retiree, do you fear any retaliation? Maybe I'll give you an extreme example, bringing you back into the military to court-martial you for conduct unbecoming or some such thing. What do you think?
That's a potentiality to that. I would just, the oath is my defense. I, Peter McMillan, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office in which I am about to enter. So help me God. Title 5, U.S. Code 33331. So if those individuals who would potentially do that, are they honoring their oath? And I would say the question, I think that all reasonable and intellectually honest people would agree that they're not.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I'm not afraid of these people. I knew when I raised my hand on May 13th, 1989, I took that oath of as a commissioned officer. That was the same then as it is now. So back then it was the end of the Cold War. I had the expectation that I may be sent to war in Europe or Asia or wherever that the country needed me to go. And actually, I was mobilized in 2004 and spent a year in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom 3. So if I'm supposed to stand in the arena against foreign enemies, then I should equally be prepared to stand in the arena against domestic ones.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where we're at right now. Our biggest enemies are domestic. I'm tempted. I'm not going to go there, but if we have time at the end, I will. The Blinken sellout to China was just stunning, and I got to believe you're just rolling over in agony. But anyway, let's go back to Katie Hobbs for a second. She's also done some things in Arizona to purposely block border security. Can you address that?
Well, what I can address is my interactions with the Department of Military Affairs. I spent a couple of weeks now. It seems to, and that goes back to what we were discussing earlier about the mainstream media, is the border situation is still there. It hasn't gone away. It's just that if you want to find information, you have to go digging for it. So the borders are still open. At the height of the reporting on the national news, I think when the I think it was Title 42 ended, and then you began to see the large streams of illegal immigrants crossing the border. We made an effort to engage the Department of Military Affairs, and I made a point of visiting the Papago Park military base, which is in the middle of Phoenix. That's the headquarters for the Arizona National Guard.
Okay.
Or at least the primary facility. And then I went there, and I presented myself at the gate, and I spoke to the public affairs officer. And I continued the conversation with her through emails, which our Twitter account has links to. It's at mega.nz. So if people who are interested can go to the Twitter account and also our website, and there are links to these email conversations that I was having with the public affairs officer, the Arizona National Guard public affairs officer, where I was bringing to her attention information which is open source that indicates just how dangerous the situation is at the border, and the very real threats that we are facing if we don't get control of the situation quickly and exercise our power as we the people exercise our First Amendment right to hold Hobbs and the military establishment accountable for their dereliction of duty. And frankly, I for their dereliction of duty on this matter.
Yeah, it is dereliction.
And frankly, treasonous.
Well, it's in violation of Article 2, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But and there is a treason component. Is your main concern with the border with regard to what's coming into Arizona? I don't imagine it's the average person looking to have a better way of life, non-criminal. But the cartel, I would imagine, is a problem. And do you have any concerns about the numbers of Chinese that are now reported crossing our border?
Well, very much so. And again, I want to stress to your listening audience that the information that I provided to DMA Arizona and to the public, this is all open source information. So, yes, my concerns are that there are, amongst the illegal immigrants, I'm sure many of whom are decent people or people that mean no harm, that doesn't change the fact that they're entering the country illegally,
mm-hmm.
and that needs to stop. But part of that is that the indications are, or the intelligence is, and frankly the facts are, that large numbers of military-aged males are pouring across the country from countries that are hostile to the United States. And it would be foolish for us to not see that for what it is, and to bow down to some kind of concept that we're not allowed to speak about this matter, or that we are to be labeled as nationalists or white nationalists or black nationalists or what does that mean? And words mean things. So we as the patriots, we need to take back control of the narrative, and that includes the words that we use. They are illegal aliens. That's what they are. And among them are the facts indicate are members of foreign military who are being brought into the country to be dispersed around the country for further orders, including being sent to prepositioned weapon stocks. And at some point in the future, there's a very very real concern of a potential, and I think you discussed this matter, it's an American Tet. And that's a reference to the Tet Offensive of 1968 in Vietnam, where the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army attacked most of the major cities in South Vietnam, and I think for a period of, I think, 1 to 2 months, held the country in chaos.
Yeah.
And that's what I see happening here, on a much larger scale.
Couldn't agree with you more. This is corruption on an unbelievable scale. I've talked about prepositioned weapons caches, and I just want to put the context in and get your reaction. This surfaced for the first time to my attention during the Antifa riots in Portland, Seattle, and other places. And my broadcast partner and friend Doug Thornton was then an active supervisor with DHS, and he told me about this before it even hit the news. And he said, Dave, this isn't for Antifa. They do Molotov cocktails. These are pre-possessioned weapons. And I said, who do you think they're for? He goes, Chinese. He said that before this was even a media item. What's drawn your attention to the possibility that the Chinese are crossing our border for pre-possessioned weapons?
Well, then this goes to the information that I provide, open source information that I provided to the public affairs officer. You know, given my background, I'm a military intelligence qualified officer. I'm also a graduate of the United States Army Command and General Staff College, and I had over a decade of experience at an intelligence director at Southern Command. So that's what military intelligence is, my military occupational specialty. That's what I do. That's what I focus on. So if you know where to go and you know what you're looking for, you can quickly find the very thing that you're asking me about. And I bring people's attention to the white hats who are in DHS. There are two articles that I found, which I provided. The first one, I think, was from out of L.A., from seizures of I'm sorry, the first one was from CPB in Louisville, Kentucky, 10,800 assault rifle parts seized. And these were being seized out of container from Red China under the auspices of like repair parts, so some ubiquitous term that they put on the container to keep in the hopes that people will not look inside. This is just classic smuggling, but it's being conducted by the People's Republic of China and the People's Liberation Army, which I think you could also make ties to the large quantities of fentanyl which are pouring into the United States, which as a military officer I consider biological chemical warfare by Red China. And so now you have a confluence. So you have chemical biological warfare going on, you have the placement of weapons throughout the country. And we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, because what we're seeing, what's being reported in the news, if it's even reported in the news, are just a few examples of what's being seized. We need to be concerned of what's not being seized. The other thing I'd bring to people's attention is that there's actual professional Chinese professional military. Military planning by the Chinese that the Western or that the alternative media has identified, writing about this very fact that the Chinese military know that they cannot take the U.S. on directly, so they have to find some means to lace our country with combatants who can be brought out at the right time to cause chaos within the United States.
Do you think this is like a fifth column saboteur force?
Yes. At the very least, it's that. I mean, we, as you've pointed out in the past, you have the cartels that are being armed. They're obviously involved in some form or another with the Red Chinese in terms of the fentanyl. The armaments that you're seeing, we're seeing all kinds of automatic weapons, military-grade automatic weapons, in the hands of the Mexican cartels. You're also beginning to see, at the very minimum, light anti-tank weapons. Who's to say that there's not potentially man-portable anti-aircraft missiles in play? There's also been reports of Chinese military being on Vancouver Island, on the north side of the United States, as well as you have reported that there are apparently large numbers of Chinese in Mexico. And on a personal note, several years ago, I visited Ensenada, the port of Ensenada in Mexico, on the Baja, and I was immediately impressed by just how well the port was constructed, which leads me to wonder, you know, who is funding that construction. And also, my understanding is that the Chinese government has been given control over the civilian ports in California to some degree or another.
I never found out what the final status of Long Beach was. At one time, the CCP was controlling everything coming in and out of Long Beach, and then I've heard it changed. I know Alex Jones reported on that in his earlier days, did a yeoman's job on that, but I don't know what the status is there, except let's put it this way. If Chinese shipping containers are not inspected, anything can come into the country, including troops, weapons, doesn't matter. It could be anything.
And also you see large numbers of – one thing that people have to understand is this idea that when you mention the fact that there's a large number of military-age Chinese males or military-age males coming in from other countries that are hostile to the United States, the defenders of the people who have taken over will just tell you that you're a conspiracy theorist or that there's no proof of this and these people are just peaceful and you're trying to label them. And doing everything they can to ignore reality. Well, my answer to them is you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And that's what my message to the public affairs officer is that it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when these events will transpire if we do not take active measures, peaceful measures, the public to take the country back. This is going to happen, and this is reporting going all the way from I think there was going to former members of the military turned journalists who have gone down to the Darien Gap and have gotten the paperwork and the NGO and I believe also the United Nations sponsored roadmaps for these individuals to follow, and the reports that they're putting out on alternative media to warn the public about these very issues.
Yeah.
So I can't expect everybody in the public to be, because people have to live their lives, but it's up to members of the military like myself, veterans, to work with the press and get this out and hold the officials or the people who claim to be officials responsible. So I had requested a meeting with senior military leadership in the Arizona National Guard. I'm still waiting. I went to the Arizona State Capitol back on January 3rd when I went there to seek information on recall. You could still enter the Capitol, register with the security, go up to the appropriate office that's dealing with your matter and conduct public business. As of a few weeks ago, I went there and I was refused access without a prior appointment. You're given a telephone number and you call the telephone number and you get a answering machine and you can either leave a message or they give you an email that you can send a request to. So I did both. So I received a message from a member of the constituent affairs section, and I responded, and I've made a formal request for a meeting with members of the governor's capital, the governor's office, as well as the Department of Military Affairs to discuss this matter as regards the border. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, amazing. Tell us about your experience when you went in to secure information about how to do a recall. Were they cooperative, friendly, helpful? How would you characterize your ability to access the facility and the level of cooperation you received?
Well, I completed my visit to the Secretary of State office on January 3rd as a symbolic first step. So the meeting was polite, but I got the feeling that they were expecting it, but hoping it would not actually happen.
Uh-huh.
This goes back to what we're saying. Do we know that we're doing this? Yes, they know that we're doing this. They are pretending or they're trying to ignore us, but we're not going to go away. And I firmly believe that it's a rule of physics that for every action there's an equal opposite reaction. So this idea that the public feels frustrated. The public knows, the intellectually honest public knows that it was a stolen election, and they feel disenfranchised. So the message of Arizona citizens is, no, you're not disenfranchised. We are leading our effort. There are a couple of other apparent efforts at recall, and there is no restriction on the number of recall petitions that can be made. But we are focusing on ours, and we are homegrown. We're doing this grassroots, and we're going to use the power of the people. We're going to use our perceived weaknesses. My message to Ms. Hobbs and the people who support her is: we are a force to be reckoned with, and we are going to use our perceived weaknesses as strength. And the people that are truly interested in doing this, I invite them to sign up, and then they will have access to our proprietary plan to make this happen.
Now, how do they sign up?
They should go to Twitter. That should be the first stop. The second stop should be the website, and they can sign up by sending emails to our official email, which is on the website. Let me just look that up for you for a moment.
And while he's looking, just want to say I'm in wholehearted support of this, but it's quite an undertaking to a recall. Once you give out that information, I want to ask you about the actual legal process, about the numbers of people that are required and so forth.
Sure. Well, let's switch to that while I'm looking for the email. As of January 3rd, Hobbs was installed on January 2nd. So under Arizona state law, the person who is elected governor, which again is ironic because we're talking about someone who was not elected, but again, we are having to go through the legal process to hold her accountable for illegally holding office. So the six-month anniversary is Sunday, July 2nd, so that means on Monday, July 3rd, under Arizona state law, is the first day that we can actually file the paperwork for the recall. And then but we don't have to do it on July 3rd. That's what we're trying to do right now, is develop enough support financially and also location-wise to successfully conduct the recall effort within the established 120-day collection period, which if we drop the paperwork on July 3rd, that would give us until Thursday, October 31st, 2023. Now there's certain requirements that in terms of once you file it, you're given a circulator ID, and that circulator ID has to be on every petition page, and every petition page is limited to 10 signatures, and every signature page has to be certified by a notary. So it's a logistical. It's very difficult to conduct a recall election. I think it's interesting that. And once the recall, once a sufficient number of signatures are collected, then those have to be delivered by hand to the Secretary of State office, which then conducts a recount. And after they do the recount, a review of all the documents, which can be challenged on a lot by line or by page, and then all of those are then sent out to the counties for a second. Recount, which is interesting because it's interesting that a recall election, if we applied the same standard to recall elections that we applied, the same standard we applied to recall to the general election, we would have a fair election. There's no reason why if they can hire people to come in and review all the handwritten signatures of the recall ballots, then they should be able to do that on standard election ballots. So there's absolutely no reason why Arizona can't have a hand-counted general election. There just isn't any.
Yeah, it's interesting you'd say that, because I know this for a fact, that Cochise County said they were going to do a hand count to validate the machine count before they would approve the election. And Katie Hobbs says, I'll throw you in jail if you do that.
Well, according to this, it says this is a two-step process. So we submit all the petitions to the Secretary of State, and we have to give them 2 weeks notice because they have to hire temporary staff to scan and digitally review the forms. And then the Secretary of State will have 10 days to review the forms for line and page errors. Specific grounds for line and page errors are defined by Arizona Revised Statute Title 19. And then the second step is, once they have conducted it, the Secretary of State will then send the petitions to the counties for a second review, and the counties have 60 days to complete the review. So it's ironic that she is doing that, but she's stopping every effort to try and reform the system, which, if we would just apply what we do for recall to the general election, that would solve the problem.
That's so interesting. So they want to make it difficult to cheat on the recall election, but no such consideration for anything else. Well, the evidence is just overwhelming about the election was compromised. And I mean, it would literally take me 3 or 4 shows to go through all the evidence, but it's there. But her conduct as governor, too, I mean, besides the fact that she's vetoing election integrity bills, she's vetoing bills that would strengthen the border to some degree. Is there anything else that your group is concerned about with her leadership or lack of?
Well, it's allowing the invasion of Arizona. There's a lot of talk about Title 10 and Title 32. And the response you get from the Arizona Department of Military Affairs is that, we recommend you go talk to our active duty people that are leading the effort. Well, there's Title 10 and Title 32, and there's nothing stopping Ms. Hobbs from exercising Title 32 to bring the entire Arizona National Air Guard and Army Guard and putting them on the border, as well as there's nothing. I think there's also something called the state militia. At least some states have them, and I imagine it's on the potentially on the books, or could be put on the books here on Arizona, that able and willing veterans could be recalled to assist with protecting the border. Now, I want to hit one. We'll go back to the recall for a moment. Under Arizona Revised Statute, there has to be 25% of the total ballots cast. That's the required number of signatures to do a recall. So if you do the math, according to the election results, Hobbs received 1,287,890 votes. Kerry Lake, 1,270,774. And then there was a number of votes for other candidates, the total being 2,558,664. Well, if you divide that by a quarter, that comes out to we need to obtain 639,666 signatures. So our goal is to surpass that, with the understanding that there's going to be challenges by the powers that be, as well as third parties who will, we're fully understand that once we gain steam and start becoming successful, efforts will be made by the powers that be and third parties from inside or outside the state to come in and try to call into question this effort.
Okay, and I want to go to the I know that you're maintaining tight security right now over some of the identities of people involved in the recall, I'm sure for good reason, but can you give me an idea of the kind of people besides yourself who are leading this effort? I mean, their backgrounds, you know, the professions and so forth. Can you give us kind of a hint about what type of people are really behind this movement?
Everything from students to professionals. from all walks of life, just patriotic Arizonans who care about our state and what's happening to it. So I would say that there are some of the people have training in computers and computer engineering, which is a big help, because without getting into details, which I encourage people to join, because it's operational operational security of our own, because we're coming up, we're having to create, because of the challenges we are facing, lack of media exposure, and the such, we are trying to come up with our own proprietary in-house formats that are app-driven, that can be used by members to organize ourselves at the grassroots level, and turn what would otherwise be considered a problem for us into an advantage. Because I think that one of the reasons why they claim that they're not afraid of us, because they think we're not a threat to them. And I, when I say threat, I mean there's no threat of violence here. The threat I mean is lawful accountability, peaceful change. That is what scares them, is being exposed. And so by pretending that we're not there and pretending that we don't exist, they Hobbs and her allies think that there's no actual tenable effort to depose her from power. And my message to them is no, they would be highly mistaken if they think that the people of Arizona are just going to sit by and not do anything about this.
You know, there's a pretty good awareness in Arizona about the fact the election was tampered with illegally. But I think a lot of the people feel helpless, and because of the mainstream media not covering it properly, the courts being corrupt and not even... I mean, for example, in Carrie Lake's lawsuit, she alleged that Katie Hobbs engaged in conflicts of interest. I know of four instances where she did this, and it's undeniable, irrefutable that she did this, and yet the judge threw out that allegation because they're corrupt. People feel helpless in the face of this monolithic group that steals elections. Is there anything that you guys have talked about doing to instill hope in the population so they'll join your effort with some degree of confidence that they can accomplish their goal?
Yes, we put out a poll on our Twitter account of public interest in holding a peaceful rally, First Amendment rally, at the Capitol itself. Contrary to what happened on January 3rd, when there was still some semblance of constitutional order, now when you try to go to the Arizona Capitol, it has this almost a Stalinist air about it. You can't get into the lobby. They won't let you in. But one thing I noticed is that next to the American and Arizona flags is a Ukraine flag. So, which I don't see what the purpose of that has. Also, apparently there's the state of Sonora, which I did not realize this here to before, has an active office in the state capitol.
Yeah, that's
originally
true.
My understanding it was on the third floor, and now it's brazenly on the first floor. There's a big sign that's directing Mexican nationals, and what astonished me was that Mexican nationals were being allowed to, through security, on their way to the Sonora State office, but myself, an American citizen, a citizen of Arizona, and a veteran, could not even enter the public
mm-hmm.
lobby.
Yeah, but it makes perfect sense. Peter, we're almost out of time, but I just want to comment on your last statement there. When we're looking at this situation in Arizona and Katie Hobbs, she serves the illegal aliens before she serves the citizens of Arizona. And so the fact that the Sonora state has such a prominent position and they can pass freely through security speaks volumes, but it's undeniable and irrefutable. Again, what I want to do before we close, and Peter, we're going to have you back and we're going to have you update events as they become important, but I want you to give out the information again, because some people may be thinking, let's say in Alabama or Philadelphia, wherever they're at, they may want to do their own recall effort, and I think there's lessons to be learned. So how can people follow you again very quickly?
I would call everyone to go to our Twitter feed. That's our main public channel. It's just recall underscore Hobbs.
Okay. Okay, that's
and also,
well,
recall Hobbs.
You have
Arizona citizens.
You have an excellent command of the issues, because I too from Arizona, and I've covered this ad nauseum. And if your other leadership is as knowledgeable as you are, I think this is going to take off pretty quickly here. And certainly feel free to include the Common Sense Show in any press releases you want to make, because we absolutely need to turn this communist takeover of our country back. Peter, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your time.
Take care.